Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it's so great to be with you. I'm so glad that we're here together, and I hope your life is going well. I was thinking I need to start this podcast saying, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and I live in Tasmania. Because you're going to hear in the interview with Scotty this time around that we recorded on a very hot day. I think that the temperature got to 28 degrees Celsius that day, so warm, and I was wearing a really nice light linen dress, and it was beautiful. Well, today when I record the rest of the podcast, it is freezing. We have, instead of northerly breezes, we have southerly breezes. We have masses of rain, which I'm hoping that my noise filter will filter out a bit, but you may hear the rain pounding on the roof. It's cold rain. It's snowing in some parts of the state, and we're here. It's the 15th of November. It's the middle of November. Anyway, so yeah, it's cold. But life is fun like that, isn't it? Like you never know what you're going to get when you live in a little island like this. I hope wherever you are, your weather is exactly what you need it to be. I am talking with Scotty today about storage. I thought I was wandering around the house and thinking about all the little bits and pieces that I do to make my life simpler in terms of storage. That the beanie is in the beanie drawer near the front door so that I can just pull it on as I leave. That my keys always live in the same place in my handbag so I know that they're going to be there. I pulled out the ice cream maker the other day when it was hot to make ice cream, and I knew exactly where everything was. I knew that the recipe book would be in one of two places, either with the ice cream maker stuff, which is where it was, or in the recipe drawer. You know, so they're just tiny little bits like that that make my life simpler and easier. And I thought, well, you know, this is what my podcast is about. And I do a little post on storage. Well, you'll hear when I talk to Scotty that a little post on storage isn't going to cut it at all. Scotty immediately brought up the subject of having too much stuff and decluttering. And really, that's the basics of it. I mean, when it comes to having a house be peaceful and a nice place to live, if there is too much stuff in the house, it doesn't work. You can't do it. And so I have now turned my storage, what I thought would be a simple storage post, into at least two. We'll see how we go when we go with the next couple of tips next time. But and yes, I know we're leading up to Christmas, but I've already done my Christmas post. So we will talk storage, and I hope that it's helpful to you, that you learn something maybe that you didn't learn before. And today I'm going to talk with Scotty about my number one storage tip and about decluttering, which is actually my number one storage tip, though I thought it wasn't. So I hope that you enjoy my chat with Scotty, and I'll talk some more about it afterwards.
Good morning, this is Ultra 65, and we're doing right now Life Hacks with Ruth Amos. Good morning.
Good morning, Scotty.
How you doing?
I'm very, very well.
You're looking very summery today.
It is a beautiful warm day today.
How good is it?
Pull the summer clothes out.
I was last night laying in bed trying to get to sleep. I'm like, it's too hot. It's funny how you kind of acclimatise, you know, like this wouldn't be too hot in the middle of summer, but now you're just like, this is just too hot to sleep.
I just noticed as I got out of the car this morning that I've put this beautiful summer dress on that I really love, and it has no pockets, Scotty. It has no pockets, which is, you know, a segue into what I want to talk to you about.
Very nice. So what are we talking about? Nice work.
Storage.
Storage.
Storage in your house. I just thought, let's go back to basics for a little bit and talk about how you're storing your stuff. And the big point I want to make this morning is easy out, easy in. If you have trouble putting something away in your house, then you are not going to put it away. So the example I thought up of is if you have an extension cord, right, and it belongs in the hall cupboard behind the vacuum cleaner in a little box where you have to coil it up really, really tightly and lift up a pillow to shove it on, then that extension cord is going to sit outside the cupboard at best until maybe the bishop comes for dinner, at which point it's going to move into your spare room with everything else, and you're going to close the door.
Yeah.
But it's never going to go where you need it to go. And our extension cord lives in a cupboard, and it's we have the ironing board, and then we have a little hook on the wall, and you coil it up loosely and chuck the extension cord on the hook. So, and it's there because I use it when I do ironing, so it's all there together. But it, the main point is you can pull it out easily, you can put it back easily, so it's easy for me to put
ironing,
away every
what's
time.
Ironing? We haven't done ironing for years.
Yeah, occasionally I get the urge to beat the creases out of Moz's work shirts, but mostly no, but yeah. Yeah,
well, that's and see, for us, storage is wherever there's a spare spot on the bench. That's and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, my wife, but like I actually got frustrated there for a while because we have got an island bench, and it's kind of, you know, a couple or a few meters long, but then there's 1 meter at the end of it that's just storage space. I'm like, do we like, and she goes, well, we don't have a shelf for it. So I put up a shelf. So now we've got a shelf with the stuff and the bench with the stuff.
That is true. I mean, the number one point with storage is if you've got more stuff than your house can hold, then you have to declutter first.
I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying that. Seriously, I
think that there's a lot of people in that situation. And one of the things I liked about Sandra Felton was that she said, I couldn't figure out how to keep my house clean, and I moved to a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house, and it didn't make a difference.
Well, you just expand into it. Whatever you got, you expand.
That's right. So you have to make a conscious decision of if this has nowhere to go, that is easy to put in and easy to take out, then I'm going to have to make a decision about getting rid of it. And
yeah, or getting rid of something else, so there is an easy way to go. Yeah,
and Dana K. White, she's fantastic, and she sort of says, your container is as much room as you've got, and if it doesn't fit in a container, then put your favourites in first. So if your sock drawer, you put your favourite socks in first, and then when the drawer is full, it's full, and the rest of the socks get thrown or given to charity or whatever. But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much in this storage thing. I normally write a blog that's like a page or 2 pages long, and it's 4 pages long today because there's so much to say about it. But, yeah.
Well, we're knocking down our shed in our backyard, and it's a huge, big shed, and we're knocking that down to make space for something else going there. But now all of a sudden I've got to go through the shed and decide, okay, well, I can keep like 20% of what's in here. So I've had to go really like – so basically we've got now a little, you know, 3x3 shed. And it's like what was in there has to somehow fit in there. So I've had to be really ruthless, and it's tough to do, isn't it?
It is very hard. It's hard to make that decision, and it's often very emotional and takes a lot of work to. So, yeah, I wasn't going to talk about decluttering because that's such a big subject in itself. It's a big emotional thing, and maybe, you know, having a friend sit by you while you're doing it or something, but, you know, if you want to live in a place with clear surfaces, which, let me tell you, is so much better for your mind, then you need to say, okay, I can only keep as much as can fit in my storage comfortably so that it's easy to put in and it's easy to take out. Yeah,
I love it. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
ruthamos.com.au, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Excellent. So I guess you can ask yourself, how do I know that I've got too much stuff? And one of the basic ideas about that is if stuff isn't easy to take out and easy to put back away, then you have too much stuff. If you need to move 5 bowls before you can put your special bowl back away after you've had salad, then maybe you've got too much stuff. If a drawer is chocked full and you're just squeezing more in, or if you can't find your ruler because it's stuck underneath layers and layers of old pens and pencils and envelopes and stuff that are in the drawer, then this might be a sign that you have too much stuff. I think actually, to be truly honest, if you live in the Western world, you probably have too much stuff. But anyway, you know, all of us have our own limits and things, but I really think that decluttering, which was not something I was going to talk about, but it is now after Scotty brought it up. Thanks, Scotty. Decluttering is something that we could do with doing regularly. And as I've been writing about it this morning and thinking about it and, you know, going through all the process again in my head, I thought, yeah, okay, my house could really do with another declutter. Now, it's not going to be a deep and long process for me because I did that deep and long process many years ago now. It may be 15 or 20 years ago now, but I remember that process very well. I remember the fact that I looked in the hall cupboard and I started looking through boxes of memorabilia, and I found a whole box of, I'm embarrassed to say this, I found a whole box of letters that an ex-boyfriend had written to me in high school. Now, he's a very good writer, and I'm a writer, and that's a lot of what we based our relationship on, I think, was that we could write to each other these great long epistles about how life was and everything. But it was not fair to my husband to be keeping these old mail from an ex-boyfriend, and I threw them out. So that's something that really has been stuck in my head for a while. The reasons why we keep things are many and varied, and so the process of decluttering, you can start at the surface and then you go down layers and layers as you get better at the process until you can get to the point where you have what you need and what you love, what is known to be beautiful or useful. I love that quote. But not all this other stuff, because you can have stuff in your house that is bringing you down all the time. You know, you can be storing jumpers that you know make you feel dowdy when you put them on. They're too big or they're stained or whatever, and you keep them for I don't know what reason, but you do. But they do not, as Marie Kondo say, they do not spark joy. They are things that spark opposite feelings. And these things you can get rid of. And just having too much stuff, even if it's all good stuff, that also can bring you down and make you feel horrific. So let's think about this. Decluttering. Decluttering is a hard and emotional process, especially the first time you go through it. You have been keeping this stuff for reasons. I'm not saying good reasons, but definitely reasons. And it also requires letting go of those reasons to let go of the stuff. It might require forgiveness. It might require grief. And it also requires a hell of a lot of decision making, which is exhausting and can really get to you after a while. And is tiring. And we only have a certain number of decisions in our head or in our ability during the day, so we get decision fatigue. So decluttering is a part of all that. And because you know this, because you know that the decluttering process is going to take time and energy and be hard work and be emotional, you can often put it off until the perfect time. And please hear the air quotes around that, the perfect time, because there is never any perfect time, is there? There's always more going on and whatever. It's like when I do my writing and I say, well, I'm not going to wait until I feel creative or energetic, because honestly, I hardly ever feel creative and energetic. I just need to put aside some time to write. And when I do that, what I need will come to the page eventually. Even if it doesn't for a couple of days, it will eventually. So the same with decluttering. It's like you can say, oh, well, we'll do it over the summer holidays when we'll have the time, or we'll do it, I don't know, on the long weekend when we have the time. And yes, you know, there are times when you can just say we'll make a start on it and whatever, but it may be a longer term project than that. And one of the major people that I like to read about decluttering, her name is Dana K. White, and she talks about decluttering at the speed of life. So her book is called Decluttering at the Speed of Life, which I really like, because her thing is that, you know, you might start and then the kid's going to fall over and skin their knee and you've got to stop. You may only get 5 minutes in before your life gets in the way. And so being able to have this decluttering process that she offers, that you can get something done, but you're not doing it all at once. So I want to start. I've mentioned a few people already. I'm going to describe three different decluttering processes, and I am giving you just a brief overview. You will have heard most, if not all, of these names before, either by listening to me or just in general life, and you can go and look up their stuff. It's there available for you to look at, and it's there to help you. So the first one that I wanted to talk about was Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo, you know, she's the spark joy lady. And she has Netflix shows, and they're great. I love them. They're uplifting. They're fantastic. And also, you watch them and you think, well, I don't have that much stuff, so obviously I'm not as bad as these people, and that gives you a bit of hope, which is nice. But that's the same with all TV shows. They have to be extreme, don't they? Marie Kondo's method is this. You go into a room, you say, I am decluttering the bedroom. And I think she generally starts with clothes. She has a bit of an order where she does things, and she leaves the kitchen till last because the kitchen's hardest and stuff. So she starts with your clothes usually. And so you go into your wardrobe and you pull out all of your clothes, every item of clothing that you have, you pull out and you either put it on the bed or you put it in another space. You pile it all up so that you can see in one pile everything that you have. So the same when you're doing your bookshelves, the same when you're doing your kitchen, you just go in, pull everything out, put it in one pile, and then you go through the pile. You lift the thing up, you hold it, you say, does this spark joy? And if it does spark joy, you put it back. And if it doesn't spark joy, you thank it for its service, because her stuff is based in Japanese religion. So you may thank the item of clothing for its service. You may, if you are me, thank the Lord that he's given you this item of clothing and that it has served you well. And then you either give it away or you throw it away. So that's your three things. It either goes back in the wardrobe or you give it away or throw it away. But the idea is that you're looking at each item separately and saying, does this bring me joy or does this bring me down? That's the thing. So that works very well for some people. It does not work for Dana K. White. She, as I've said, she thinks that the idea of pulling everything out of a room or a space or a cupboard or anything is just horrendous, because she knows that the way that she works in her life, she's going to end up with piles of stuff around the house that never, ever get dealt with. So she deals with it in a completely different way. And one of the first things that she does in her decluttering method is to pull the rubbish off the floor. So anything that you can look at that in that room that is rubbish goes immediately in the bin. So you have an immediate positive reinforcement of what you're doing, because if you can just go in there with a rubbish bag and everything that is a piece of rubbish gets put in the rubbish bag and taken out, your room's immediately going to look better. And at that point, you can start thinking about decluttering. She has another couple of steps. One is that if you pick up something and you think, I'm going to keep this first, you think, where would I put it? Where would I look for this? If I wanted this pair of scissors, where would I look for the pair of scissors? And then when you know the answer to that, you go put the pair of scissors where you would look for it. It may be in the fridge. You may think, oh, well, if I wanted a pair of scissors, I'd go to the fridge. That's fine. Put the pair of scissors in the fridge. That's fine. The idea is to put it where you think you would look for it. If you can't answer that question, or if you say, when I would be looking for this item, and then you think, well, I'll never be looking for this item, then those two things show you that maybe this item can go as well. So she just goes through rooms a bit at a time, thinking about where would I look for this item and putting the item there. And she also has the container concept, which is her thing, which is that if the drawer's a container, it can only hold so much stuff. So if this is a container for, I always go with socks when I'm talking to Scotty, I've talked about this before. Let's pick a different thing. If pens, right? This is her example too from her website. But if you have a little cup that's for holding pens, it's only going to hold so many pens. You put all your favorite pens in first. This is my favorite blue one. This is my favorite gold one, whatever. When it is full, it is full. And then all the other pens go out, either donated or thrown away if they don't work. So your container is the thing that limits how much you have. So for her, that's much easier to blame the container. The container is limited. It can only contain so much stuff. Whereas Marie Kondo is like, making decisions. Do I like this or not? Do I like this or not? Which doesn't work for Dana. She thinks that she would be completely exhausted by having to decide whether or not, because she doesn't want to throw. Maybe she feels like the jumper's going to feel miserable that it wasn't loved by me and didn't spark joy, and I can't do that to a jumper, so I'm going to have to keep it. You know who you are and you know whether you like that or not. So maybe Marie Kondo's works for you because you're able to be brutal and say no, does not spark joy, and get rid of it. And that's perfect. Or you can really feel like this is the thing, this is the jumper I love, and that jumper, oh yeah, I always feel revolting when I put that on. I'm going to get rid of it. That might work for you. You might be more the Dana type person where you just like, I can't do that. I can't make those decisions. I can't think about how I feel about every item that I have in my house. So instead I'm going to blame the container. And if the container is full, then it's full and everything else goes. It's a bit like thinking, it's not my fault. I don't want to have to take responsibility for this. I need to just blame whatever it is that I'm filling up. And the other thing with her is that she says your house is a container and the container needs to be able to be used for the purpose for which it's made. So if your house is so full of stuff that you can't use it, then you need to get rid of some stuff. And the kitchen bench is a good example of that, because if the kitchen bench is so full of stuff that's being stored that you can't use it as a kitchen bench to prepare your dinner, then maybe you need to think about that container is over full and you need to get rid of some stuff from that container and leave the container open and free so it can be used for the purpose for which it is built. And a kitchen bench is used for preparing food and maybe sitting at and eating food. And if you've got stuff in there that stops it from being used that way, then that stuff needs to go. So that's Dana K. White, Marie Kondo, and the last person is Sandra Felton. And we've talked about her before, but I'll just briefly talk about her decluttering method again. Sandra Felton's decluttering method is that you start at a point in your house, and she talks about starting at your front door, turning to the right, and seeing what is there. And when you get to that thing, you look at it and say there's a hall table there. It's a hall table. It has shoes at the bottom. It has two drawers and it has a space on the top. And you look at the stuff there and you say, does it belong here or does it belong somewhere else? So we have rule about how many pairs of shoes we're allowed to have under the hall table so that they all fit there nicely. So once you get past that number of shoes, they belong somewhere else. And you have three boxes with you. You have a box to give away, a box to throw away, and a box where you put the stuff that belongs somewhere else. So I'd go through all the drawers in my hall table. I'm just imagining it as I do it, thinking I have to do this, all right? And pull stuff out and say that goes in the throwaway box. If a pen doesn't work, you throw it away, all right? So things that don't work, throw away, then stuff that you don't need any longer that you can give away and donate. So you have a donate box and then another box where you just put the stuff in that you know goes somewhere else in the house. And then you go through everything in that drawer or cupboard. And when you've gone through that and cleaned it out and everything in there now fits nice and neatly, you move along the house to the next part of the house. So if I was doing that, I would turn down the hallway and the next thing is our bathroom. And so again, go through all the cupboards in the bathroom. And does this belong here? If it belongs here, it stays. If it doesn't, you put it in one of the three boxes. So all of the nail polish that's dried up goes in the throwaway box and so on. Things that don't belong in the bathroom that have somehow migrated there by magic, which is what happens, you put in the go somewhere else box. And if there's stuff there that needs to be, you know, jewelry that you never wear or whatever, then that goes in the giveaway box. And you just go through your house like that, just room by room by room. And whenever you stop, you stop. And then when you start again, you pick up at the same place. So yes, you have these three boxes, and the throwaway box you can immediately take out to the bin, and the put somewhere else box you will need to make time to deal with on a regular basis, or as you get to that place where you're in the next decluttering place and the things belong there, you can put them there, and so on. And donation box you need to be really, really careful with. With all of these methods, the donation box you have to be careful with, because donation boxes can sit in the boot of your car for months and months and months. It's like, I don't know what it is. You just fill them up with stuff and put them in the boot of your car and then you forget about it. Job done. But job is not done until they actually get donated. So you need to donate them. And I've just had one more thought about decluttering. There may be things that you can't make a decision on. No matter which of these methods you use, there are things that you think, I don't know. Like, do I need to use them or not? I don't know. I can't figure it out. I haven't used them in the last week, but you know, it's summer, winter. It's wintry summer here. And so I don't know if when it's real summer and the weather actually gets warm, I'm going to need it or whatever. I don't know. And every single one of these three women say the same thing, that you put these things in a box and you seal up the box and you put it in your garage or in a storage space. I'm thinking in a storage space. I don't have a garage. We have under the house. Oh my goodness, under the house is full. I really need to do some decluttering. But you put them aside in the spare room, whatever. You put them aside And you put a date on the box, and that date can be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, doesn't matter. Put a date on the box, a clear date. Okay, so it's there, it's packed away, it looks tidy, and it has a date on it. You don't look in the box. All right, this is not a box to go back to over and over again. You just leave it there, sitting there. But if you get to some point through the year where you think, oh, I really need that thing, you can go and get it out of the box and you can use it and you can keep it. But if you get to the date on the box and you have not used any of the stuff that's in the box, then that box goes. That box needs to be thrown away. All right, so speaking of boxes, there's so much to say on this subject. This is the last thing. Speaking of boxes, it might be tempting to just say, I need to declutter my garage. My garage is full of boxes. I'm not going to look at any of them. I'm going to throw them all away. I'm going to give them all away. I'm just going to take the box and give it to charity. Please don't do that. I have a friend who did that and she gave away her passport and all of her certificates. That is a bad thing to do. Please make sure that you do look at everything. Whether it takes you a year or 10 years, go through everything and either using Dana's method or Sandra's method or Mari's method, whatever you do, make a decision on each thing eventually. You may need to have a friend sit with you to help you do it. Having a friend sit with you really does help you make decisions. They don't even have to touch anything. They don't even have to say anything. You just pick up something and you go, oh, yes, because this other person is in my bedroom with me while I'm looking at my clothes, I can now see that, no, I don't want to keep this. It's amazing how much clarity that brings. Put on some funky music if it gives you energy, or have a movie playing in the background or whatever you need to do, do it. But I am so grateful that I took that first step in decluttering my home all that time ago, because all the rest of my clarity of thought and peacefulness of life is based on that decluttering process, where I just got rid of things like, yes, my ex-boyfriend's letters and my maternity clothes and things that I just no longer needed and did not need to have in my life. And it's just made a difference. It's made a big difference. So I highly encourage you to spend the time it takes to declutter. And next time I talk to you, I will talk to you about my other storage tips, because it seems that I can talk about this stuff forever and ever. So I hope that this has been helpful to you. If you have decluttered your house and you're still listening, amazing, you, well done. Thank you. I appreciate having your company in this conversation. But yes, I encourage you, like I'm encouraging myself, to go through the process again and keep going, because things sneak in that we don't need and there's always more decluttering that we can do. And I encourage you to encourage a friend to declutter. In fact, if you would like to pass this podcast on to anybody that it would help, I really would love that to happen. I would love to spread my reach. Please, if you find this podcast helpful and fun and useful to you, please spread the word, tell your friends, because I would love to increase my audience, to be honest. I would love to make more friends out there. And if you've got something to tell me, if I've done this all wrong, or you think I'm, well, I don't know what, helpful or unhelpful or whatever, or you've got a special decluttering tip that I haven't talked about, please, please let me know, because yes, as I said, I am now doing a series and I will chat about your decluttering tip on my next podcast. So yes, if you want to talk to me, you can write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au. You can tweet me at A Quiet Life Blog, or you can find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.